Are you a lifelong fan of General Hospital?
Are you a new fan who wants to know more about the history of the show?
Do you enjoy talking about the show with others?
Do you find yourself yelling at the TV?
Is your self-care an hour a day in Port Charles?
If so, we invite you to join hosts
Amanda Kimmel
and Shannon Coach at the place where all the hidden conversations take place and secrets are revealed.
Meet us at Pier 54,
a General Hospital fan podcast. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the General Hospital recap for April 15th through 19th. Hope you all got your taxes done. We have a few Port Charles pipelines. We did have a request to talk about Jason's accident, and I don't think there's actually a write-up on it. And I think that really the only thing about the accident is AJ was drunk driving. Jason tried to stop him. We kind of talked about it because we talked about the tree stump at the bottom of the property. When did we talk about that? With Alan, maybe?
I think so. That would make sense because we talked about Alan. At that point, we talked about Alan and Bobby and their like non-affair. And we said it was part of, they were dealing with Jason's accident, Monica and the cancer, blah, blah, blah. Like there was a lot going on.
Yeah. So... And then, I mean, he came out of it and he had a different personality. He didn't know who he was. Connected with Sunny. Sunny treated him like... Oh, we also, when we talked about Courtney, yes. I think. No, it wasn't. We definitely, like, we've touched on it. So, I mean, we'll have to try to piece it together. But really, that's kind of, unfortunately, such a big impact is a very short blurb. AJ was drunk.
Right.
Jason got in the car to try to stop him. Had an accident. Jason's personality changed. Morgan is Lila's maiden name.
Yep.
And he loved Lila because Lila treated him like him who he was. So,
right.
I think that'd be a good one to do eventually, but I feel like that's just going to have to be when, if we ever get to doing Jason.
Yeah.
And then we have an email from Jessna. I don't have any friends to share my GH passion with, so I thought I'd email you. Welcome. I started watching in August of 2000 when Emily woke up to the dead cop in her bed.
Oh my.
I was obsessed with the teenagers on the show. And then I saw Jason Morgan in all his glory and I was a goner. I found you guys in excitement of his recent return and have been loving it, especially the 411s and rants on them messing up Jagger and Valentine going to the dark side. One exercise we did in my high school creative writing class was make up a character to insert into a show. I do this with almost every show, even now. So I thought maybe you'd like to hear my story about my GH made up character for fun. Keep in mind, as beautifully talented as Kelly Monaco is, I can't stand Sam with Jason. So no J-Sam, sorry. I agree with that now. The original J-Sam was great.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what she's alluding to there also. Well, she started in 2000. So yeah, that would have been from day one,
yeah.
Jason and Sam. Okay. So Mallory Corinthos is 15. I love the name Mallory. That was my favorite babysitter on the Babysitter's Club. Sorry. In case you all were wondering. Her and Marianne, because Marianne's the one that had the steady boyfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was so responsible. And
yeah, Logan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I liked her too.
Oh God, we're such dorks.
Who was your favorite babysitter?
I think Marianne, just because she was so like in charge. She was organized, which I've never been. So she was my role model there.
Well, Christy was in charge.
Well, Marianne was like the other not flaky one.
Yes.
That's the best way to put it.
Okay. Back to fake General Hospital. So she's 15 when her mother dies of cancer. She finds out Sunny is her father. She comes to adore Sunny and is eventually adopted by Carly. She is close to her family, but Dante is her pillar. Only person she can't stand is her, quote, babysitter, Jason, who isn't thrilled with her either. Mally graduates college and begins orchid deception with Carly when the townhouse is bombed. Jason saves her and the two develop feelings despite Sunny's threats. Uh-oh. Jason cheats on her with Elizabeth, of course, but they get back together to become engaged just before he is shot and pushed off the pier. Mally uses her grief to hide her cancer diagnosis she got just before Jason's, quote, death, until she collapses in front of Detective Cruz Rodriguez. Mally falls for Cruz as he helps her through her cancer treatments and he proposes, but he is killed on duty soon after. Mally throws herself into her work when she meets Derek Wells, who pursues her relentlessly. She has quite the age gap here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I guess she would be closer to Jason's age if I'm following all these.
Like back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. After the trauma of losing Jason and Cruz, Mally elopes with Derek only to find out that he is Julian Jerome. She agrees to stay married and keep the peace as a Corinthos married to a Jerome. Julian eventually asks for a divorce as he is falling for Alexis. Mally and him remain friends as he supports her when she decides to use one of her embryos her and Jason had frozen when she was first diagnosed with cancer. Mally never quite believes Jake is Jason despite all the evidence and his memories of her. She removes herself and lets Elizabeth and Sam fight over him. When Jason comes back, she and him are reunited just as she is about to give birth to a baby girl named Leela Caroline, a combo of Leah, her mom's name, and Lila, with Carly as her middle name.
Oh, cute.
Currently, she is siding with Jason upon his second return while trying to keep the peace with Sunny and being at odds with her half-sister, Christina, and dealing with almost losing her best friend and brother, Dante. Thank you for letting me share. Adore both of you and can't wait to meet you on the pier in the next episode. Take care. In God's care, I leave you. Jessna.
That's cute. I love it.
I love it. We have a few people who have written fan fiction.
Yes.
It is fun because, I mean, we all write our own stories, but I don't think I've ever
developed a whole different character. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Do you know what would be so much fun if we did like a spinning wheel? Okay, we need to do this. This is why we just need to work on our TikTok, okay? Because we have our idea for our board. We have our idea for our cocktails and our cookbook. And we need to have like a spinny board that has like the different wheels inside. So it matches up like it's a teenager that like had this thing. And you just spin the different things and then you have to write a story.
Okay.
Okay. So that's mine. We'll just handle that next week, you know.
All right.
So then... I think that was it. So we have Hulu headlines. Oh, sorry. This upcoming Thursday's 411, we are going to be talking about Sunny's businesses because we just finished The Mob. This week, Anna and Laura talked briefly about Sunny's past. Might as well kind of round out the Corinthos mob family and talk about Sunny's businesses.
Right.
So I'm curious to see if I've been doing really well at not reading the Hulu headlines.
Oh, ahead of time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no. They didn't change it. Okay, cool. There's a mistake in one. And I was like, I wonder if they're going to change it.
Okay.
So on Monday, Carly updates Jason. Tracy receives welcome news. Sunny meets with Drew. John shares his suspicions with Anna. And Ava continues to snow Nina.
No.
Was she really, though? Okay. Tuesday, Laura and Anna come to a mutual realization. Trina questions Jocelyn and Dex about their relationship, which apparently Joss has shared zero information about.
Right.
Alexis and Finn support each other. Brooklyn and Chase have an honest discussion about money. Elizabeth opens up to Gregory. On Wednesday, Carly and John get close. Cyrus goes on the record to Anna. Lois asks Sunny if he will be attending the wedding. Dex takes another step towards his new career. And Ava keeps something from Sunny. On Thursday, Sunny learns that Dex is becoming a cop. Jason gives Carly a gift. Nina spars with Drew. Lois and Brooklyn have a heartfelt talk, and Jocelyn has a plea for Anna. And then on Friday, Sunny and Carly have it out. Nina makes a discovery. Sam tells Jason to stay away from Danny. Drew and Willow reconnect. Lois impresses Maxie with her deception knowledge. That's an entirely wrong episode. That was a few weeks ago.
Yep.
So somebody copy and pasted incorrectly. So where do you want to get started?
I'm going to jump into Ava and my just confusion. I don't understand this whole pill thing. Mm-mm. So if I was snooping in your house and I found a pill bottle and I wondered what that pill was for, I would screenshot it and then I would later Google it. And when I Google pill with number 321 on it, it would pop up and say, this is a sleeping pill, an anxiety pill, an antibiotic, whatever. And I would leave it at that. If it's a prescription med, why are you sending it to a lab?
Right.
And then she sent it to the lab, and yeah, she found out that it wasn't working correctly, like it wasn't the right dosage. How is she going to explain to Sunny that she knows that? And if he did get it from a pharmacy, it was in a pharmacy bottle, like he picked it up from a pharmacy, then that is a pharmacy mistake.
She did say that he had it mailed in, which he may not, but I just switched to having mine. By the way, it's so much cheaper.
So much cheaper.
I had no clue, but I just switched to having mine switched to being delivered. And it saves me time. I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's so much cheaper.
And so I end up, but you're right. Like, it's a pharmacy error then. So what is she gaining from, we've seen her, they're caring for each other. You know, she's obviously building some mutual feelings.
Yeah, I don't get it. I could see her saying to Sunny, are you taking your meds? He said, yes, he was. So then now being like, something's not right. Like, I don't know if you need to go have a med check because you need a higher dose suddenly or what's going on, but they're not having the effect they should be having on you. So can we like see what's going on? And I still don't feel like you'd send it into someplace to have it tested. You'd take it back to the pharmacy and be like, hey, I'm not sure these are right. Like, maybe they're expired. Can I get some fresh pills? They're not working. Or call your doctor. I don't know.
But maybe she's speaking from personal experience where she did manipulate medication. So she might be thinking the more nefarious somebody's messing with his medication. Her mind, because she has done that, might have jumped to that first. And that I could see where she's like, well, I did this. So I wonder what happened. The thing is that one that she took, lorafridine, it's not actually a medication, but orphanadrin is. Yeah, it's a whatever, I can't pronounce that. But what I'm thinking that it's supposed to be, because it's one letter, two letter difference, it's a muscle relaxant. Why is Sunny taking a muscle relaxant?
Right, right.
What's happening here? And okay, you know what? I did not Google. Okay, so I mean, you have more experience with bipolar. Do you use muscle relaxants as treatment for bipolar?
Not in the experience that I've had with my daughters. Okay. So, I mean, obviously I'm not.
Medications can be prescribed for different things.
Right, right. Medications can be prescribed for different things. And obviously one protocol is not the same as another protocol. But I have one kid with bipolar 1 and one kid with bipolar 2. And I've never seen a muscle relaxant be prescribed for either one of them. So,
I mean, unless it just keeps him calm, but then you would think that at the same time, that would be a lower dose.
Sleepy said.
Right. So I don't know. But the other thing that cracks me up, when was the last time you had anything couriered over?
I do it every day. What are you talking about?
Like where? I don't know. That's just the thing that I'm like, do people really do that? Are we just not in that tax bracket yet where we have things couriered?
I'm not sure what tax bracket that is that you would really, other than like a work something, like, okay, but just in everyday life, like, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. My company has a courier that comes to our office once a week, but it's my company.
Right.
Between all the different branches.
Right. Right. I personally would not be like, oh, I need to get this over to Shannon. The courier will bring that over.
Right. It would be a kid.
Right. Or exactly. Exactly. My kids are my couriers.
So yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand. I guess that's not really going to help with anything, huh?
I just don't get what the whole thing is that they're doing with Ava and that part of that storyline.
Like, because then when she later in the week told him about Dex and he reacted, the first thing she asked was, are you taking your medication?
Right.
After she knew it was the incorrect dose.
Right. And why wouldn't she just say that? Like, I understand that he doesn't want people looking after him. He's a grown up, blah, blah, blah. But she has been living there. They have built a relationship now. I feel like if she really did do it out of concern, she could come to him now and be like, listen, you haven't been acting yourself. As far as I know, you've been taking your pills. You know, things have been progressing that you seem more upset than you had been. And so I sent your pill in just to double check. And yeah, it's the wrong dosage. So I don't know who's messing with you or if it was pharmacy error, but today, instead of taking one, you need to take four because they're at four times less or five times less than what you're supposed to be taking.
Right.
And he'd take
if she's
that.
Smart like, at all, she's going to get in front of it because guess what? He's going to accuse her of being the one.
Right. Exactly.
Because she did it to his son.
Exactly. Exactly. So
Ava's smarter than this. I don't know what.
Yeah. And it's almost like how they used to do it. When a woman gets interested in a man, she suddenly becomes stupid.
Like idiot. Like they used to do. When did they ever stop?
Well, I mean, it got women a little bit better.
When they fall for a guy.
But they've gotten a little bit better. That the stronger characters are a little bit smarter. And Ava, they just like.
When?
Took her 10 steps back.
When have they done that recently?
I don't feel like. Not like recently so much as with specific characters. Like, I don't feel like they ever made Molly dumb down for TJ.
No, but they've been together since they were kids.
Yeah.
So we've seen them grow together.
And for the most part, I know it's been a while since we've seen Alexis in a relationship, but I don't think they've dumbed down Alexis generally. And like Diane, they don't dumb down Diane for a man. And so
okay.
I feel like Ava's a strong,
Ava
smart
fits that category.
Woman. Yeah, exactly. So to suddenly dumb her down, especially since she's very aware of her own past and the fact that she did mess up Morgan's pills, that she's not going to let this go and have it maybe come back on her.
Yeah, true. Okay.
So yeah, I'm just confused. That's all.
I don't know where to go from there.
I did like her with Trina. They went out to... That was before that. Like, I guess I started backwards. But they went out to breakfast. And Trina was like, I'm going to pay for this at some point in time. And she's like, yeah, you keep going ahead and trying. Like, it's not going to happen. But it let Trina have her catch-up time to talk about anything she needed to about missing Spencer. And then they talked about gallery stuff. And she was going to open the gallery. And then she let it slip that, oh, yeah, I guess I didn't tell you. Dex and... Joss broke up and Dex is now going to become a police officer. And that's what set Sunny off, that Ava should have been like, yeah, your meds aren't right.
Right. And where was Christina this week when Ava was stopping him from drinking?
Right.
Because she was, right? She was stopping him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. She was like, again, now that it's clicked that the meds aren't working right, she's like, more alcohol is probably the last thing that you need.
Right. Right. And she did warn Trina against being alone too much.
Yes.
For too long.
Yeah. I did think it was silly, though, that she was like, why don't you ask Jocelyn if she wants to move out? And Trina was like, oh, my God, I never thought of that.
My college roommate and I living together? What? Well, see, here's the thing. It involved Joss needing to get a job.
Well, she's been kind of sort of volunteering at Pelly's. She offered to help do something.
She did offer. Okay. I will say, though, this week, Joss, I loved giving Michael a hard time about,
yes,
wait, you're telling me you're going to do something and not just with your credit card?
Right, right. And Michael teasing Carly about John and her being like, wait, 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 what? I want the scoop. Like, what's going on? And Carly, right, like, no, this information came from Nina. It is not true. I do not want them hooking Carly up with John.
No.
If Sunny was way too old for Karen back in the day, then Carly is too old for John.
That's interesting. How old is John now?
I don't know, but...
Well, no, because I feel like, weren't John in... No, because he finished high school.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be a few years younger than Sunny.
Right, because they had it presented like Sunny was like 28-ish, it felt back in the 90s. Whenever Karen...
That, though, it was the under 21, over 21... Like, that age gap can kind of broaden the older you are.
Yes.
Like, there's a big difference between Sunny being 27 and Karen being 19, and Sunny being 47 and Karen being 37. Like, that's a totally different, that's not as weird.
I agree.
As cringy.
I feel like from Jagger's past, not Jagger, John's past, him being with Carly would just feel... wrong, age-wise and relationship-wise and like where they came from. Like, no, it's just no.
But Carly and Jason.
Yeah.
Jason and Jagger fought over Karen. So if Jason's age appropriate for Carly, then so is John.
I guess. But no, I don't like it.
I understand. Like, trust me, I understand. I hear what you're saying. Where'd you go?
I am sending the address that Madeline's at to Ryan to ask him to pick her up.
Good call. We're on Zoom again today, guys.
We are. I just felt like if I left my house, I was never going to get anything done today. So I'm hoping that like we move through Zoom quickly and then I do something somewhat productive.
We will get that happening. Okay. So then I guess we could just stay on Jason then. We saw he has his old room back.
He does. I loved Carly looking at his tattoos too. That was like perfect.
See, I didn't. I thought it was so dumb. She was like about ready to cry. Like, why did you do that to yourself? Like, I mean, I guess her tears were behind the pain, behind why he got it and all that. But you would have thought that her reaction seemed like he was harming himself.
Right.
No, you know, I didn't. It was like she discovered that he had been doing something to himself. He got a tattoo. He got a sleeve. It might not be something she ever thought that he would do. You think he could kill a guy, but you don't think he could get a tattoo? That's the extreme that we're going with here. Mm-hmm. That's Carly's line is tattoos.
I got it. No, I liked that they didn't ignore it, though, because that is a new tattoo, a newer tattoo for Steve from the last time that he was on the show taking his shirt off. So to just ignore it would have been absurd. So I like the fact that Carly was like, wait, when did you get that? Like, why did you do that? Blah, blah, blah. And then looked at it and now we can like move on from it. I don't like whenever there's major changes and they just act like, yeah, that's how that's always been. Because again, if we're pretending like it's real life, in real life, if I show up at your house tomorrow and you have a sleeve tattoo, I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to say, when did you do that? Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it was nice. Because at first it sounded like he gave it to himself. And then he said something about, you know, all I had was so-and-so that would work on me at night. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Right. Dude, if he could do that himself, that's some talent, man. Those lines were nice.
But Jason told her that Sunny still loves her.
Yeah.
You know, and they talked about all of that. She filled him in on basically everything that happened while he was gone. You know, I tried to stay with Sunny. And I was 5 minutes late and I walked in on him and Nina.
Exactly. Yeah, he was that like made me angry for her all over again. He was like, this is it. Like, show up or we're done, blah, blah, blah. And I showed up late and he was already in bed with someone else. Like, talk about no wiggle room here.
Right. Well, there was some wiggling going on. Just
no.
Now I feel like I should go roller skating. Sorry.
Are we going roller skating?
Well, I was just thinking. I'm like, that was probably playing at Norwin Skateland back in the day. Oh, anyway. Oh, God, I love that place.
I still think it's crazy that we were probably there at the same time.
I know. Well, I was probably there at the same time as my husband, too.
Yeah.
It is so weird. And then Jason bought back the Metro Court and gave it to Carly. Nina agreed. Yes. She signed all the documents and turned it over. And she thought for sure that was going to get Sunny back.
Oh, that look that she gave Ava was great. Because Sunny walks over and Nina's just standing there like, oh, I can't wait to see how happy all this is going to make him. And he walks over to Carly and is like, I just needed to tell you that you and Jason and Nina are all a bunch of liars and traitors. And I'm so done with all of you. And she just stands there like shocked and then looks at Ava, who's like, sorry, that didn't work out for you.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
I did love how excited Carly was to go talk to Olivia.
Yes, and Olivia
was
like
little kids. Out. It was great.
Yeah, like I got my best friend back. Yay.
And now we can undo all those changes.
I ordered new ice makers already.
And I've already hired back whoever it was that Nina fired.
Yes. Oh, so cute.
Oh, and then Danny snuck into Jason's room and that didn't go anywhere other than he tried on Jason's jacket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like part of the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. What is Jason going to do? Oh, my favorite scenes. I'm all over the place. My favorite scene this week was Brick and Jordan. He's like, hey.
I would love daffodils? Because he's a member?
Mm-hmm. I'd love if they like have him come back more often so that they can have a little romance going on. Mm-hmm. And she was like, are you saying that you're easy? And he was like, for you, like their flirtation was just perfect. Like it was exactly. It wasn't over the top. We didn't need to see them like ripping each other's clothes off. Nobody's buttons magically fell off between the two of them.
Right.
Or anything
Maybe
like that.
Maybe Drew really uses Velcro.
Maybe. But it was that nice, like, oh, what's going to happen next flirtation that mm-hmm. soaps are good for. I loved it.
It was very good. Didn't really go anywhere after that, though. But then we saw TJ had to go and Gregory. Somewhere. Well, she had to get the taxes faxed over or something. Done,
but then they kept talking and he said, well, he could take her out to dinner then. And then he got called away. And she was like, well, call me next time you're back in town.
Yeah. And then TJ confided a lot in Gregory regarding Sunny about the baby.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
It was.
But it was weird. Gregory told him about the Civil War babies. I remember, I think that it was a while ago that I was like, no, women used to dress up as men for the war. It happened so much that these women had babies.
That's crazy.
So I found an article, emergingcivilwar.com. I probably confused the internet search engines this week when I typed how to hide pregnancy. But they were talking about how it was possible for a woman to disguise herself as a soldier to be pregnant, and no one realized it until, well, she went into labor and delivered the baby. And it says the best recorded incident of the surprising motherhood seems to have been the Army of the Potomac in the spring of 1863. Colonel Adrian Root from the 94th New York Infantry explained the details as he saw them to his mother. When I was last on duty as general officer of the day, I came across a very singular case of an illness out on the picket line. A corporal of New Jersey Regiment who was on duty with the pickets complained of being unwell, but little notice was given his complaints at first. His pain and other symptoms of severe indisposition increased, becoming so evident that his officers had him carried to a nearby farmhouse. There, the worthy corporal was safely delivered a fine, fat, little recruit for the regiment.
Wow.
And then there was one, April 10th, 1863, from Lieutenant Sam Partridge of the 13th New York Infantry. It's not quite clear if the last name blank was really the soldier's name,
mm-hmm.
But it says last night Corporal Blank was reported sick, was sent to the hospital tent and examined by surgeons. Said examination caused a great commotion among the doctors and hospital attendants, and the report of thereof causing a general laugh among the officers. In the course of the night, Corporal Blank gave birth to a fine boy, genuine child of the regiment. It's about the gayest thing I've ever heard of yet. And just remember that meant happy.
Right.
Like silly. That was not a
right
derogatory. She enlisted as a man last August. The regiment came to the field early in September, and here amidst the 10,000 things which ought to have shown her sex, she's preserved it undiscovered for 7 months. Bully for her. She's got her discharge now anyhow. But it goes on. I mean, there's many, many, many more instances where, yeah, women fought and had babies during the Civil War.
So crazy.
That's what I got out of that talk, because the rest of it was dumb. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've said this every week that TJ has been on saying the same exact thing. I don't understand. Like he said something about, I'm sure after the baby's born, I'll let the excuses that Molly makes for Christina just slide right off my back like I did before. Like, Christina's doing something wrong and Molly's making excuses for it now. What has Christina done wrong? Every time we see her, she's eating healthy. She's taking her medication. She's napping. She's like wearing appropriate clothes. It's not like she's wearing like something super tight and like restricting the growth of the baby or something like that. Like,
right.
She's doing everything that a good surrogate would do. What possible excuse is Molly making for her?
Nothing has changed since he's known her.
Right.
It's just that she is Sonny's daughter. And exactly. He said something about Molly is not as, quote, passionate as the rest of his family. And I guess, was that his, like, little way of calling the rest of the Davis girls a not nice word?
Right.
Like, that's what I was getting. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you know your domestic partner? She 100% is a Davis girl.
Exactly. You can look back to when her and Christina were fighting a few months prior to this, and you got to see exactly how much Davis was in her whenever she was being so catty about dumb stuff. So, yeah, I just, again, I don't get it. You knew she was Sonny's daughter years and years ago. You knew she was Sonny's daughter when you went ahead and let them implant that egg into her, or IUI, whatever they did. And so, what is your complaint now? Like, we're halfway through the pregnancy at this point. Just shut up. She's doing everything perfect.
Right, there's no turning back, DJ.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, we saw Finn and Alexis at a meeting talking about Gregory and how Finn is struggling with letting go of being a caretaker, being a caregiver for his dad, and just being his son,
Right.
and not be, and I can only imagine being a doctor, how frustrating that must be.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough just as a child of someone, as you're learning all of their medical stuff and looking into information and trying to figure out how to help best. To be a doctor and feel so helpless that you're not, you know, even being a doctor, you don't know everything about every specialty. So I'm sure there's so much that he's still learning and then trying to figure out also, and then he should have the answers because he's a doctor and that's what you think. Like, yeah. But I like that Gregory gave that boundary of no, you're not. I just want you to be my son for these last however long we have.
Yeah,
So.
I'm not looking forward to that. He's not going to make it through the year.
No.
I'm guessing he's going to pass away the night after the wedding. Like, he's going to do the wedding, they're going to fly off to Florence, and he'll have passed away in his sleep.
But then that'll cut their honeymoon short.
Oh, shoot, that's right. Okay. The night that they come back from their honeymoon,
Okay.
he'll be able to say goodbye to Chase.
There you go.
Finn will not tell Chase how bad it is while he's
While he's
gone.
on his honeymoon. Yes,
Yep.
that
But then
makes
when he
sense.
gets home, it's, hey, you need to say goodbye to dad.
Yeah. All righty. I mean, that'll make me sad, but I'm okay with that. We can't mess up their honeymoon.
Well, and I'm not trying to be like a Debbie Downer, but they're making too much of a, I'm not saying too much of a point. They're making a huge point of Gregory just has to make it to the wedding. He just has to make it to the wedding.
Right.
So I feel.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Like, what's going to happen after the wedding?
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry, Gregory has to die. Like, there's
Right.
not the way that they are presenting this. I'm sorry. I feel like that's.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's, I mean, I don't know the timeline. I have not done the research, but it feels to me like they were not progressing his disease very far. And now all of a sudden it's like he has days to live. I can understand if he just has to make it to the wedding as far as he has to make it to the wedding to be healthy enough to stand there and do the vows and whatever. But again, my very limited understanding is that he should still go on and live for months and months after this, declining as he's, you know, going through these next couple months, but
Right.
not that he's going to just drop dead in 2 weeks.
Oh, but you know what's going to happen? Brooklyn will have gotten pregnant on their honeymoon, and then they're going to have a little boy, and they're going to name him Gregory.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe they won't kill him off just yet. Maybe they'll wait until she
Baby
can
Gregory.
announce that she's pregnant and like he'll pass away right before she has the baby or right after she has the baby, because now
Okay.
we can make it. He just has to live to see his first, well, not his first grandchild, but his first grandchild from baby stage,
Okay.
or
So,
Chase's first child, however you want to do it.
according to the ALS Association, the mean survival time is 2 to 5 years. Some people live 5 years, 10, or even longer. So, they didn't have to do this so quickly, but I feel like the way that they are progressing him, we're quickly getting there.
See, and again, not that I want to see him suffering, not that I want the sad storyline, but as we've talked about, why do we have to rush things so they're in like this perfect little package? If real life is that he should continue to decline and we should have to see that and deal with that, that's what we should be doing.
Like Mike. Yes. Mean, to be fair, they did such a great job with Mike. That's the bar.
Right.
And they're not doing that with Gregory.
Right. Like, we're going to have Gregory, like, we see him with a cane now. I feel like again, not that I want to see it because it's sad, but realistically, he should be then progressing to he has to have a walker, to then he has to be in a wheelchair, to then,
right,
you know what I mean? Not just he's gone.
Okay, so maybe the last thing, maybe he'll start using a wheelchair after the wedding, and that'll be the last time that he was able to walk.
Okay, that would make sense.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I know there's never a perfect timeline with any illness. It doesn't matter what the textbook says. You're here as long as you're here. But it would just be nice if we're supposed to be getting the general realistic idea of what this disease does to actually see it play out instead of it just fit into this wedding timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And then he talked with Liz about how Finn was estranged from him for a while because he resented him moving on from his wife, you know, right, from Finn's mom passing. We really don't hear Finn talk about his mom very much.
No.
But I mean, Gregory even told Liz, yeah, I loved Jackie, but, you know, Finn's mom was the love of my life.
Right.
Just don't tell Chase that because he thought that they were. Well, no, I guess the divorce probably. Well, that doesn't mean that they're not the love of each other's lives. It just means that it wasn't working out.
Right.
Hmm. And then Lois went to see Finn about the rehearsal dinner.
Yes.
And making sure that everything's on track for that. Finn's freaking out because Chase's bachelor party went sideways because the Metroport is sold out on a Tuesday night.
I'm not sure who thinks that you can throw together a bachelor party day of. It was the Savoy. The Savoy was booked out.
Oh, that's right. The Savoy. I'm like, why are we going to the Metroport? Yeah, the Savoy.
Yeah, the Savoy. But, you know, again, if I wanted to book a party at a bar for a party for you, I would not, even I wouldn't call day of and expect to get in. So that should tell them how much they should have tried beforehand.
Yeah.
So where were they ending up axe throwing?
Yeah, that's where they're going to wind up being. And Dante invited Anna to come meet them. And then she acted like she didn't know the place. We've seen her there.
Yeah. There's an axe throwing place? I hadn't heard of that.
We saw you do it. Oh, so Dante came back to work and Chase had his desk covered in red socks. I loved it.
That was funny. Like, yeah, he threw it back over on Chase's desk. Like, mm-mm.
He said, this will be some good kindling later.
Not doing it.
But then Brooklyn and Chase were talking about their money.
Yes.
And he made them chicken Florentine. And I have a nerd out.
Oh, geez. Go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, they said something about buying land and that he'll sign the prenup, no problem. And he said that the wine was Italian. However, the bottle, he said that it was Pinot Grigio. The bottle is from Loire Valley, which is in France, so it should be Pinot Gris.
Oh.
Which is a little bit sweeter than Pinot Grigio.
All right.
But they said it's an Italian wine, but it's from a French vineyard. That's not an Italian wine. That's a French wine.
That is true.
Because that's a real place.
Yes. Yes, so, it is.
Sorry, that was my little nerd out. But then did you see the calendar on his mantle?
No.
It's like a block and it has three rows. And on the very top, it's like a piece of wood, like a thin piece of wood that's been stained. And it has January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December.
Okay.
Like just abbreviated on the top. It looks like it was probably like wood burned into it.
Okay.
And it looks like you just move this like little metal piece. It kind of looks like the scale of the doctor's office. Like you move it over based on the month and then you move over the date. And it has dates at the bottom too. So it's just like this really cute calendar. However, it is not December 31st.
It is not.
No. Yeah. So I think that it's going to wind up being that Brooklyn gets pregnant on their honeymoon because they talked a lot about having kids too.
They did. Yes. I liked their plan. They were like, listen, we'll live off of what we make together as like normal people. And then the residuals from your trust fund, we will put into an account for emergency, like hopefully college tuition and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, if something comes up that one of the kids really needs, then we'll have the money there.
They have a safety net, but not using
They're it. They're not going to incorporate that into their everyday living.
Yes.
Which is good.
And then Lois went to Sunny asking him why he hasn't RSVP'd for the wedding yet. And she mentioned him being an uncle. He's also her godfather.
Yep.
Right? We just learned that.
Yep.
But it does not say in either Brooklyn or Sunny's write-ups that he is her godfather. But that was in that thing that, oh, the mob thing that we read. That Sunny is.
Yeah, that's odd that they didn't bring that up. And I just felt like that was stupid anyway. He's like, have you not paid attention that there's like people out for me? There is a chance that there'll be trouble. Like, Sunny, there's been a chance that there'll be trouble wherever you are your entire life as you become a mob boss. If Lois has extra security and you're bringing your own security, like, that's just how it is.
Yep. Brooklyn Quartermain, goddaughter of Sunny and Brenda, considered family. And that's how it's listed under his family.
Yeah. Just insane that they were like, oh, he may not go.
Right. And then that was her big surprise for Brooklyn.
Yeah. I talked to
And Brooklyn seemed okay. She was like, he's got a lot going on. I was kind of okay if he needed to not be coming.
Yeah, exactly.
But then Lois kind of gave some shade to Ava and was like, so why don't you go find somewhere else? I'll get you in touch with Lucy.
Yes. I liked how gracious, though, Ava was about it. She was like, thanks so much for those suggestions. Like, she did not be goaded into telling her off.
Mm-hmm. Everything really did flow together this week. Like, everyone kind of interacted and, like, moved within each storyline because we saw Anna and she's making her list of operatives.
Yes.
It said Brennan imprisoned, Forsyth deceased, Humes, it said imprisoned. Isn't that the guy that was with Jason he was killed, I thought.
Or did they the guy that was with Jason was definitely killed.
I thought that was Humes. I could be wrong, but
I don't remember his name.
And then she wrote Valentine with a big question mark. Last night at dinner, we were talking about, my husband's trying to say he doesn't know any of the characters' names. And then he proceeded to
ridiculous.
List. He proceeded to list almost every single person.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and then he's like, oh yeah. And Valentine, you know, I had him record something for you. I was like, listen, said we are breaking up. I'm like, we're having some trouble right now. I'm like, he's not doing some good things. But then John came and they talked about Jason and Sunny and about how Jason's not going back to work for Sunny.
Right.
But then Anna and Laura talk about how they have both kind of turned a blind eye to Sunny. I don't feel like they have. I feel like they have both been very well aware of what they were ignoring.
That whole thing, I just feel like, is ridiculous. They have both said throughout their entire lives, like, I don't agree with everything Sunny does, but he's been a good friend to me. I don't agree with everything Sunny does, but he's been a good friend to my daughter. Like, they've said it 100,000 times. And
when neither one of them has ever ignored evidence.
Right.
They've never tampered with evidence. They've never ignored. And I'm pretty sure that both of them have told him in the past, listen, and Dante has said the same thing. Listen, there's a chance one day it's going to happen that I might not go do the extra digging to find it on you. But
when it presents itself, I have to follow the law.
And Sunny even told Dante.
Yep,
you're going to have to.
Exactly.
So they decide that they need to arrest Sunny somehow. So then Laura goes back to Cyrus. And I thought that she was being really kind. And she's like, listen, I've been doing some thinking. I don't think you're entirely wrong. I don't think you're entirely right, but I don't think you're entirely wrong. And did ask for clarification if he felt pressure from her to not report Sunny.
And he is like 100% honest for a minute and is like, no, actually, Nina came to me and said that she would put me on the radio if I didn't press charges. So I just let it go. I'm no longer on the radio because I realized how stupid I sound. Everyone kind of called me out on who are you to preach? And so
way that he sounded.
Yeah, he was too preaching because he had no right to preach. But he's not doing that show anymore. And then she's like, oh, well, now would you consider pressing charges? Blah, 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 blah. And he flat out says, oh, dear sister, I will listen to you. Like, you can guide me. And then she's like, oh, no, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. Sarah. Yes, you were.
Yeah. And then he even flipped the script and said, do you really think that the Quatermains have never broken a law?
Right.
Do you think that they have amassed their fortune, honestly? And she's like, over the generations, probably not. But also her own livelihood with her ex-husband.
Right.
Was funded by nefarious dealings.
Right.
So she should understand, yeah, sometimes it happens, you know, and she distanced herself. And I mean, she is 100% straight. She never got involved the way that Carly did.
Right.
But Luke was never like Sunny. Luke just did like the Frank Smith stuff, but he really didn't. Yeah, he and Sunny were business partners for a few legitimate businesses.
Right, right.
But Luke was still a target.
And Luke wasn't having people killed because they were like a rival. He was having them killed because they were going to kill him, type of thing.
I would say that person would be a rival then.
But I mean, I don't know how to explain it better.
He didn't have like an active mob family versus mob family the way that Sonny does.
Right. Like Sonny doesn't like, have.
Well, and that's what they like, talked about. They talked about the fact that the drug. Sonny has been doing a great job of keeping the drugs out of Port Charles.
Right.
So they do have to give him a little credit on that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it may not be working out real well with what he's doing right now, but the drugs aren't coming in. Just fireworks.
Just fireworks. I meant that Sonny had like people that were going to try to take over his stuff killed. Luke seemed to only kill people that were an active threat to him and his family. Like they were going to kill him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like they sit there and discuss. Some of the other politicians may say, you know, Sonny is the lesser of two evils because the drugs have stayed out and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, you know that you're not going to have the backing from everyone to take him down. Especially whenever Cyrus explains, like, yeah, two wrongs don't make a right, but I knew that this information was going to set him off. And I continually sat there saying it to him until he went off. And then even after he beat me up, there was a part of me that was like, yep, I won because I made you go off.
Right, right.
So I just don't understand how this is the case. And then you have the complication of, oh my God, Dex, because he does know it was Dex. And then they're like, no, wait, we don't want you to press charges against Dex because we're trying to make him a police officer. And then he sees Dex and at least Dex apologized. But still, Cyrus is like, yeah, I know you were there and I know what you were there for. So,
yep. Well, and that was right after he had finished talking with Anna, formally giving his statement.
Right.
So he pretty much immediately went from Laura to Anna. And he's like, so I just talked with my sister and I think I should do this. So he's still making it known, like, Laura did have an influence on that, you know?
Right.
I was glad to hear that she did ask that question about, did you not do it because of me? But then, yeah, he filed his formal complaint and then nothing happened.
Right.
Except for Anna is dead set. Okay. This is dumbing down of Anna.
Yep.
Molly is like, I have a conflict of interest too, you know?
Right.
And Anna's and like what that? Would that be? She's like, he's my uncle and my sister's dad. Or no,
not
first,
just my,
first they only just, said my sister's dad and then thankfully came back and she was like, he's also my uncle. I'm like, good. You remembered you were actually related to him.
Right. He's my uncle. He's my sister's dad. And my sister is also carrying my baby. So like, what?
Yep. And Anna is so, but she doesn't want Robert to prosecute because he just doesn't like Sonny.
Right.
And Molly's telling her there are dozens of ADAs that will take this case.
That's what I didn't understand. Why are we only referring to Robert and Molly? Like there's no one else in that building. Like we've heard them talk about how many other ADAs there are. Pick anybody else.
Right.
And she's like, no, Molly, I know you'll do it correctly. And Molly's like, I can't.
Do you know what we need? We need to see another female ADA that is single without kids. And Molly struggling with being a mom and having a career.
There you go.
And having her see this other, and I mean, I'm a working mom. Like I'm a career working mom. So like, right. I'm not saying like you can't do it because you can.
But it's a struggle.
But I have also been passed over for things because I have kids. I And they do a good job of, they do a good job. There is one specific instance I am fairly, okay. So one company I worked for basically forced out all of the parents, but made it us that quit.
Right.
So yeah.
That's but awful. You saw
the single childless favorited. And I mean, and that's hard too, though, because they probably were a good worker, but when you start seeing all the parents leaving.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's what's the common denominator here, you know? So, and I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but I just think it would be really interesting to see Molly struggle with that, because she's going to have to struggle with not being perfect.
Right.
Because it's not going to be perfect. Parenting is not perfect. That's just it. You have mom guilt either way, and you never do enough.
I hear that.
So, but that would be interesting to see. Maybe this new ADA comes in who doesn't have ties to anybody and is able to prosecute everyone without a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And see Molly's just struggling with that, you know, but then see Alexis guiding her on it and saying, listen, I literally did your job while I raised you and Christina. It's hard. It's, well, no, she wasn't ADA, but you know what I mean. She was an attorney.
Right.
Oh, and when she raised Sam, she did not raise Sam. Those newer listeners.
Oh, man.
But I think that that would be a good, this is where we bring in that new ADA.
Right.
And maybe they really are able to almost take to Sunny down. This is not how Sunny Corinthos goes down. This is not how Luke Spencer died. This is not how Sunny Corinthos goes down.
No. No, it's going to have to fall apart some way, or else they're going to have to kill Cyrus so that there's no one to have the complaint.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. Yeah, they kill Cyrus, and then they'll make it, then there'll be the question of, did Sonny kill Cyrus because he didn't want Cyrus testifying? And then we can get into all of that.
Or do they kill Dex the way that Joss pleaded with Anna? Hold on.
Oh, that because was so then sad.
When she talked about, and when we are sitting at his funeral, do not hand me the flag. Thank goodness she said, I'm pretty sure his parents won't be there. So this is probably what would happen.
Right, right.
But, you know, don't tell me that you're sorry for my loss or anything, because you and I both knew that this was going to happen. I was like, oh, gutted. But let's say they killed Dex because, and then use that as the warning, the quote warning to Cyrus, because I know that you turned me in, but I also know that you have enemies that can take me down. But I just got rid of the guy that can also turn me in and say, and who is willing to say, because Molly has Dex's deposition also that says, I went to kill Cyrus Renault.
Yeah.
That's what I was ordered to do. So there's a 50-50 shot. It could be either Cyrus or Dex. I kind of think that I feel like Dex would be the easier one because he doesn't have people that would then retaliate.
Yeah, I mean, he is the easier one, but that would make me sad because I did want to see him and Joss like work things out and be together.
I don't want Dex to die. I mean, just I don't feel want like story wise, it makes more sense. Die
either, but they got to kill somebody. Somebody's got to die. So, all right, what else happened this week?
Tracy went riding and Sasha fixed her saddle.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was improperly stored. And Tracy's freaking out, telling Cody that he's going to be out of a job when. It would have been the responsibility of the previous stored. Person.
Right.
Gregory went to see Brooklyn. Why did Gregory go to see Brooklyn?
Gregory went to see Brooklyn. Oh, to tell her that that was the happy news that Tracy got. He went to go tell Brooklyn that Alexis couldn't go. And Tracy was like, well, she's not here. She was at work. I can help you. What's up? And he was like, I just want to tell her to change my reservation or my whatever. To one. And then Tracy was like, we all set up with the family where you belong next to me.
Right.
So.
And then the only other thing was the continuing disaster of deception on Home and Heart.
I mean, Sasha saved it like we knew she would. So we'll see what happens from there. But
Lucy continuing. So it started off though with Lucy continuing to just talk about herself and how great. Okay. Lucy does do that, but that Lucy would not do. Oh no, that's right. We were saying that she was trying to be more relatable. And so that's why she was suddenly talking about herself.
Right.
But she was doing it in the wrong way. And Haven kept trying to change the subject. And Lucy brought it right back to herself in the nurse's ball and about how she had to bring it back. No, honey, Sabrina and Felix brought that back, not
Right,
you.
Exactly.
And Lucy mentioned, now most of you know and probably have, that the travel guide to Port Charles. But did you know that she also wrote a book, Lust for Death?
I did not. Is that a real book?
It's not a real book, but it is a real book that she wrote on the show.
Okay.
It was a fictional book written by Lucy Coe. In 1986, Lucy Coe came to Port Charles and she was a mousy librarian. She was involved with Kevin O'Connor and became an alibi in his murder case. After she was duped by him, she wrote a tell-all book titled Lust for Death to make some money. In it, she revealed her love affair with Kevin O'Connor and his involvement in the Laurelton murders.
Oh, okay.
And we have had that recommended to us to read.
Oh.
Or to do a 411 about the Laurelton murders. I think that somebody recommended that when we were, it was probably Alan, just because the Alan
right?
stuff. Or the, I don't know, I can't remember. At some point, somebody emailed us and was like, you should really pay, like, go back and do this.
Okay.
I mean, to be fair, I was four. So
right.
I wasn't watching.
I don't know why not.
Yeah.
All right. And, what's her name finally apologized for her behavior with the crying baby and all that stuff.
Oh, Haven.
Haven, thank you. So that was good. She got the apology that she deserved, not that it was enough.
And then Felicia and Maxie. I think that was the only other thing was...
Oh, yeah, that was nice. I did
she
like
was
that.
Trying, she was like, can you just give Spinelli some grace? Because I 100% manipulated him.
Right, right. And she was like, the last time that you shut him out, like, were either one of you happier? Okay, then. Go ahead and be... Like, stop being stupid. That was cute. I liked that mom advice. And she did like dip a little into her and Mac and like, he had every reason not to be with me. And yet we tried again and look how happy we are.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But I think that was it. There really was a lot this week. There was like a lot of little.
Yes. Yeah.
Do-do-do. Reality check.
So what's your reality check?
I had a pretty boring week. And then Friday night, I went to Night at the Races. We missed you. Sorry that you couldn't make it.
Was it just you and Bill?
No, it was me and Bill and Val and my mom and Ryan.
So the whole family. I'm sorry, yeah. Family.
Yep. They all asked, where is Shannon? And I was like, she's just so cool. She has so much going on that she had to opt out of something. So this is what she opted out of.
I opted out of two things.
Oh,
I opted
okay.
out of that. And then I opted out of something from yesterday. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Proud of myself.
Yes, good job. Good job knowing your boundaries. But yeah, it was. I always love Night at the Races. Everyone knows that, and it's for a good cause. This one was for the Murraysville Rotary, and they put the money towards scholarships for kids that need to send. And oh, they were so. It was nice, but sad at the same time. Someone that had worked at your office or part of your office was a big deal to them, and had passed away this year. Maybe it wasn't in your office. Maybe it was
okay.
Like, maybe it was whatever the other office is that's by you that's part of your real estate company. But anyway, they had very nice things to say about her and how wonderful she was for the community, and did like a moment of silence and then had a prayer before food and stuff.
Oh,
and it
that's
was
nice.
Yeah, it was very, very sweet.
Well, and there's a chance that this person also could have retired years ago, but she had just been so active in Rotary.
That's true.
We do get a company-wide email, unfortunately, when things like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But off the top of my head, I really can't.
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting you to 100% like know her. It was just nice. They asked like how we had found out about it, because we were obviously like the people that stuck out from the rest of the group, because most of everyone else that was there was part of the Rotary. And I was like, oh, we came a few years ago with our friends. And I was like, I can't remember how we ended up there. Was it you guys that knew someone in the Rotary?
Was he there? So
I'm not sure.
I know a lot of people in the Rotary.
Okay. So yeah, I was like, I have a couple.
EMC'd, yeah.
Okay. So I was like, yeah, I have a couple friends that work for this company, blah, blah, blah. And so then they said again about how wonderful this lady was that passed away. But anyway, it was a nice group of people, and they made us feel very welcome, even though we were not members of the Rotary, and it was fun. I didn't win a bunch of money or anything, but all for a good cause. So How about you? You had all kinds of stuff going on, so.
I did. So we had the Disability and Mental Health Summit this week, and that was all day Thursday. And then Thursday evening, we did something called, well, there was two things. There was like an art fair and then a resource fair for like the transition age, which is my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so that was over at like 8. So I just wound up getting an Airbnb because it's an hour away.
Yeah.
So if I had gone out Thursday morning just to go home, be home like between like 9:30, and then just to go back for 8:30 in the morning on Friday, I was like, yeah, nope, I'm just sleeping overnight. It was, every year we have different speakers and different topics, and it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of it's horrible amazing, because
right,
the reason that we're there is to share awareness. And one of the guys put it perfectly, and he's like, you know, this summit is not bringing to light new things. It's bringing to light things that we've been told would happen. And it's like, hey, this isn't working. This is how it has to work. Like, you know, this is where the deficit is and things like that. And just learned. So I can't really even go into, I cried a good bit, but there was just a lot of really scary realities. Of the very last session was about the mental health system and people that are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And the stat was like 75% of people that are incarcerated have some kind of a behavioral health need, and whether or not they are self-diagnosed or it's found out. And the thing is, it's not a required screening
right
when they are. And I'm not going to do a good job of talking about it right now, but it was just like a lot of, because then there's also situations that like one young man has been in jail for 3 years, and I could see my daughter following the same. This kid was doing great, and then lost his job during COVID. A friend from high school knew his diagnosis, asked him to do something for her, and she would be his girlfriend. And so it wasn't necessarily explained, but I think it was drug involved. Or
yeah,
there was something that he did.
Something illegal, or he wouldn't be in jail. So
right. And and then just how it's been 3 years, and the mom was told, do not tell the judge about his disability because the judge will just see him as a monster. And then she got letters of support to prove that her son's not a monster. And the prosecutor said, if you submit any of those letters, the plea deal is off the table.
Oh my God.
So thankfully in the room were a lot of people that have some pull, and they were like, first of all, do you have an attorney? Because we're not stepping on toes here. And she's like, no, like she can't even get help with her son. And it's horrible. And they're like, all right, we're going to make sure that there are letters written and that things are.
Yeah.
But so that was emotionally exhausting. So I would not have been very fun Friday night. I did wind up meeting friends whose birthday was on Monday for dinner at Anthony's, because we get a free pizza whenever it's your birthday. So she's like, I have free pizza. I was like, all right, I'll stop. And then yesterday morning did the cleanup around our neighborhood. And then yesterday afternoon and evening went to the Red Sox game in Pittsburgh that they won.
I think you mean the Pirates game?
I wore my Pirates hat and my Boston hoodie. And I didn't even have my wallet, or I didn't have my purse, because you're basically not allowed to bring anything.
Right.
So I had my phone in my hoodie, and I think I actually had it in my hand, because I wasn't sure if you had, you know, if they're wanding or whatever they're doing today.
Right.
And so they told me to go over to be searched. And I'm like, is it because I'm wearing Pirates and Red Sox?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Because I'm like, but then I was like, at the same time, I'm kind of fair game, because you can tell I obviously don't have anything on me.
Right. Right.
So I was like, the easy, you go get searched.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. But yeah, they won.
Well, I'm glad it was a good game for you.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I answered a text to you saying, okay. I have someone that asked if they can call in 3 hours, and I said, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess that's it. So join us on Thursday when we talk about Sunny's businesses.
Have a good week.
And we'll meet you at the pier.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's show, we invite you to go to pier54podcast.com to subscribe on your favorite platform. Don't forget to leave us a review. And you can also follow us on many social media channels. Just search for Pier 54 Podcast. Also, we are not perfect, so if there is something that we missed or messed up, just let us know by emailing us at pier54podcast@gmail.com.